This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum, the Scandinavian Tobacco Group, Lane Limited, and thecountrysquireonline.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
Hey,
Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How you doing now?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm smoking this exquisite Icarus pipe from our friends in Nashville at Briarworks.
Oh, yeah.
And, drinking an unnamed beer out of my Country Squire mug and hanging out with you.
Unnamed because...
I don't want to be judged.
Well, we got a little judged, actually. Somebody caught the... I was drinking some of your house ale, so to speak.
Yeah, the house ale. Doesn't that make it sound sophisticated?
It does a little bit. What you had on tap here.
Squire House Ale. It's like the stuff you mop off the floor.
Look, man, when it's free, you
no,
don't
look,
complain.
It's free, and you know, I haven't eaten a lot today, so I want to keep it kind of light.
Like a Miller.
Or a
Bud?
Or I don't want to talk about it. Hey, don't we have some announcements or something?
Man, we got a lot of stuff going on in the world that we are currently residing in. That is the world filled with all kinds of pipe culture. But first, we want to actually give a big thank you. Last week, you know, we had Timothy on to talk about pipe smoking in seminary.
I'm glad he could come on.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, man. It was so great to have him on the show. I think I told him then, and I believe I'm correct, we hadn't had him on in, I want to say, a year.
Has it been that long?
I mean, it feels like it's been a long time.
Man, that's horrible.
You know, it has become something of a holiday tradition that we have him on around that time of year. Mostly so that you can take an episode off that time of year, which so that we can both kind of take one off.
But you know what's nice is, you know, Timothy now this spring will actually have worked at the Squire for 3 years now.
Is that right?
And that is just under a year. Let's see, I have worked here now. This spring will be 4.5 years. So I mean, Timothy's been a big part of our shops. You know, kind of being reestablished and coming back online after a lot of family changes and structural changes and stuff. And man, he's a big part of this thing.
No, this so, era, yeah. I mean, he's been a major component in this era of the Country Squire.
Very thankful for him. And he's one of those people, you know how we, if you work in retail or if you ever have, you got to be real careful who you work with because you're always dealing with inventory and money and, you know, just cash and your friends are coming in wanting to buy stuff and people asking for favors. And Timothy's one of those people that when he's here, I feel like I'm here. He's here, I feel like I might as well be here. And that is just such good praise for him. Anyway, just a great guy. And, man, I'm very thankful for him.
Awesome. Yeah, no, man, we love Timothy. And the great thing is, even though his presence hasn't necessarily been felt in such a long time, I feel like he's a crucial component to the gumbo that is Country Squire Radio.
Well, look, when people come to the Squire, they want to see three and four people. They want to meet you and me. And they want to meet Kim, and they want to meet Timothy. And, you know, that's just that someone came in the other day, they got to meet Timothy, and they're like, I've completed the traffic.
Exactly.
And that made me happy.
That's awesome, man. Well, big thanks, of course, to him. And for those of you who only check out the YouTube channel, that episode is exclusive through the podcast channel. So be sure that you go on, find the podcast, and listen to that particular episode because it was really, really great.
Yeah.
Another thing I got to mention is, you know, this last past week, I think it was, my wife gave me as a gift, a Christmas gift, a surprise trip to New Orleans.
Hey, man, congratulations.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
it was
great.
Awesome. It was kind of a one-night deal. It was a lot of fun.
So you've already gone?
I've already gone.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun. And so, you know, as I like to do, you know, whenever I travel anywhere, I tend to check out the local pipe shops.
Right.
You know, New Orleans historically, at least in recent history, has really been more of a cigar vibe. I mean, there are definitely some pipe presences, but not heavily. Mostly you're looking at cigar shops.
Yeah.
But I still like to kind of pop in and ask about pipes, pipe tobacco, that sort of thing. And I happened to stop into one particular shop that's right off of Bourbon and met a guy, Joseph, who's actually a listener to the show. And dude, we got to talking. And you were talking specifically about how you are kind of in love with aged Christmas cheer.
Yeah.
And he happened to have with him, and he actually bagged this for you as a gift.
Dude, this is clutch.
Some 2001 aged Christmas cheer.
That is out of control. So this tobacco was like, I mean, that, and according to this slip, now I have to go back and look at the 2001 blend, but this said it was from a 1995 crop of Virginias.
Can you believe that?
Which, dude, that's incredible. Man, I'm looking forward to trying that. I bet it's going to be so mellow, it may just take like I don't know, straight up sugar. Man, that's going to be great. To Joseph in New Orleans, thanks so much, man. That's
absolutely,
very, very
man.
Kind. Yeah.
He was also kind enough. He gave me some Royal Cajun special, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, that's from McClellan. Now, I know on a tobacco talk at some point in the past few months, we featured the Royal Cajun Dark. And, man, that stuff is so good. I don't know about this special here, but the Dark, I know, is it doesn't have Latakia in it, but the way they process the tobaccos in there, the Virginias, it's got this smoky, rich, velvety element to it that it makes you think of an English blend. It's really fascinating. So I bet you'll love that.
Well, I'll be enjoying it actually in the coming days. You know, I'll be back on the road, actually heading up to Las Vegas this week. By the time this podcast actually goes live, I will actually be in Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show, better known as CES.
Dude, that's exciting, man.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Me and my business partner, we're making some announcements for our podcast player, Satchel, there. We'll actually be featuring at a booth, which really excited about. And hey, if you are a listener and you're either in the Las Vegas area or you'll actually be attending CES, let me know. I'd love to meet up with you and have a pipe. That'd be a blast.
I wonder how many people at CES are familiar with pipe smoking.
I mean,
that seems like in your mind, initially you would think, you know, that would be kind of contradictory, but like...
No, sir.
I mean, here you are hosting a pipe podcast and, you know... Look, and you're going to be the star. You're going to be the star there, baby. The star.
Well, look, there's a lot of coders out there and they've written into the show specifically about how the pipe has impacted them.
We've heard that a lot, especially even through our
pipe culture
series.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, absolutely, man.
Well, man, have fun out there. There's a lot of trouble to get into with in Las Vegas, but our buddy Breyer is going with you.
That's right.
And if your name is Breyer, you just know you're going to have fun. So,
well, I told him, I was like, look, buddy, bring your pipe because we'll go have a pipe at some point while we're there for sure. But yeah, you know, pipe culture is a great thing because there was a big moment in pipe culture this last past week.
What's that?
The return of
the king.
No. Oh, man. Well, to some extent, actually. So Sherlock, the BBC series, we've talked a little bit about it actually back when we did our It's Elementary episode with the folks from My Hero of Sherlock Everywhere. We talked a little bit about how this series has taken a modern version of Sherlock Holmes and Watson and retold a lot of these classic tales in modern times with kind of a modern twist.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I mean, it's a fantastic show. I mean, the series is just, if you've ever watched like one episode, you are hooked for the entire
thing.
I'm
not as familiar with it as you, but I mean, I hear over and over that it's a really well done thing.
So good, man. I cannot just encourage you enough to check it out. But I mean, the atrocious thing about this series is that they, in an attempt to quote unquote modernize Sherlock Holmes, they took away his pipe and gave him nicotine patches.
And that's disgusting.
I know. And it's not even like he used to smoke a pipe and now he's doing the nicotine. Like he used to, they make him a cigarette smoker. It's very frustrating.
Have you heard those people in Mississippi that are like, hey, man, can you give me a plug of that dip? I need it to get off the patch.
That's a local thing there.
He needs cigarettes to get off the patch. Right. I'm just saying, like, you can abuse them.
Look, one way or the other.
His arm is just lined with patches.
Sherlock needs his pipe. I mean, we've talked about this before. If it's a tough case, it's a three-pipe problem. Mm-hmm. Of course, that can't be the case if he doesn't have his pipe. But anyway, this last past week, they aired the Sherlock Holmes Christmas special, which took place. They marketed it as such that it was taking place in the Victorian era,
right?
With the more classic Sherlock Holmes, which meant, of course, the return of the pipe.
And
so, in fact, we actually did see, as part of this series, he actually did smoke a pipe twice.
That's good.
Not nearly enough, honestly, for my taste.
Right.
But he did. Actually, the first pipe he was smoking was a clay pipe.
Okay.
That's interesting. It was good. The last pipe he smoked was a briar pipe. In fact, the briar pipe that he was, and all the promotional images, they kind of showed him smoking a briar pipe. And that was kind of featured in like the last, I don't know, 5-10 minutes of the show.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah, it was good. In fact, actually, when he introduces himself to Watson, he says specifically, you know, I live at, you know, 221 Baker Street.
Right.
I smoke a pipe and I play a violin. Is that going to be a problem? it's really great. But this was the thing that really kind of caught me. I don't know if off guard is the right word.
That stood out.
So I'm watching it. And all of a sudden, like right when the thing starts, they talk about this case where the victim was a country squire. And I was like, what? What? Because we were live tweeting the thing. And I was like, did they just say country squire on Sherlock?
So the victim in the case they were trying to solve?
They were trying to kill us, John David.
Dude, I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel victimized a little bit. I felt victimized when they loaded him up with Patches instead of a pipe.
Well, I'm telling you, man.
Patches is the name of a dog. Dude, that's incredible, man. Well, so we got not only the pipe shout out, but the country squire got a shout out.
Well, you know, I think that's
in my mind we did.
I mean, surely that can't just be a coincidence. Someone there loves us. And if you love us enough, no, I'm just kidding.
We are internet celebrities, Bo.
That's not accurate. But I will say this. I love the return of the pipe. Hopefully as they go into the next series, you got to realize that the pipe is actually part of the modern era. I think actually a Sherlock Holmes would actually, in fact, smoke a pipe. Even their version of the Sherlock Holmes, I think, would eventually go to the pipe. So
now, I think we just got a question in on Twitter, actually. He said it was maybe a Peterson pipe. Did you happen to notice if that was the case?
No, somebody did, actually. A couple people tweeted in specifying the pipe that he was smoking. Now, I can't recall, though, if that was the... I guess that would have been the last Ben pipe that he was smoking.
Okay.
The first pipe was a clay pipe. It was a kind of a longer church warden. You know, we talked about it before, but those clay pipes where you actually break them down as you smoke them.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seemed to be...
Old pub pipe.
Yeah. It seemed to be kind of that style, although the bowl was gorgeous. It actually had kind of a pointed tip at the base. And it's a really, really cool looking pipe.
Russ Hicks, our friend in Savannah, Georgia, of course, says, if the pipe was a Peterson, was it a P-lip? And then he says, roof bite.
Right.
Roof bite, of course, referring to the roof bite that it gives you rather than tongue bite. So, but we have lots of listeners that prefer the P-lip, so no offense to you.
Yeah, of course not.
That's great. Hey, one quick thing I want to mention before we get into our subject, too, Bo. Man, we had a pipe pilgrimage today.
Did we really?
We did, man. It was really fun. I was totally surprised here at the shop. Got in this morning right at 10 o'clock, as I normally do. I need to put the opening hours on the shop as about 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because it goes anywhere from 9:55 to 10:15.
10-ish.
It should be 10-ish.
I'm all about the ish.
Well, Mississippi time is just kind of relative, you know. but like everything around here.
Right.
But never mind. I got here and very shortly later had a couple of diehard listeners from New Orleans, actually, Joseph and Adam, two seminarians at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary.
Oh, you know what? I think I met them at the pipe show.
They were at the pipe show.
Yeah.
Or I know Joshua was. I'm not sure about Adam, but man, these guys came up here, took their day off to come spend with us here at the Squire, and it was just great. Had a good time kind of catching up with them, talking about their favorite blends and tobacco, and and just introducing them to our local pipe scene here. So it was a lot of fun, man. We got a lot of good mileage out of them being at a Baptist seminary, smoking a pipe and being very proud of it. So,
that's awesome.
So it was very refreshing. But anyway, if Joshua and Adam, if y'all are listening, man, thanks for coming in today. We enjoyed hanging out.
Cool. Yeah. At some point, I would love some sort of like global competition.
Yeah.
Of you have to get a selfie with each of us, with you, with me, and with Timothy. And once you've acquired all three, then you
completed the Triforce.
Yeah. Because I mean, that's this is the way it normally works. I mean, people can always find you because you're right here. Except sometimes you're not.
Yeah, you have like a real job and stuff. It's harder to pin you down.
But at the same time, I travel a lot more. So typically, you know, I might be in your hometown. You never know.
That's true.
Sneak attack. That's how I do it.
No, that's true.
Hey, one last thing, too, is, we've been talking about it for the last several episodes that we've got a giveaway of not one, not two, but 3 ounces.
Three entire ounces.
Country Squire tobacco that we will actually be giving away this very episode. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned till the end of the episode where we will be announcing it here. But in the meantime, we actually are going to do a little bit of talking about the Army. No, the Air Force. You know what? What was it?
It wasn't the Marines. It was the Navy.
In the Navy. All right, so Navy tobacco.
Man, this is interesting. I thought we would take an episode to discuss... we'll just loosely call this episode something Navy tobacco related.
Right.
I'm sure you'll think of a clever name for it on the iTunes. But, you know, we hear regularly this stuff, Navy flake, Navy cut, Navy tobacco... Navy roll, Navy cake. And so there have been questions like, what is the difference? What does that mean? Where does that come from? And what's the difference between a Navy flake and a normal flake? Or, you know, where does this concept of Navy tobacco come from? And what defines that? And, you know, as I was kind of, you know, reading and just taking some notes for this episode, it's funny to me. This happens so often, Bo, in the pipe world. But, you know, people ask us these questions, and you get in the pipe, you know, universe out there, and there's absolutely zero agreement.
right.
You know, you talk to these folks over here, and it's, well, Navy means that it's, you know, mostly burley, and it's pressed into flakes and, you know, spiced with rum. And then you've got these folks over here that's like, well, no, Virginias are also Navy flake, and it really just means a flake that's with Virginias and it's been pressed, and it doesn't have to have any flavor. And it's like, what's going on here? And then you have these rolls that are done and all these things. So it's just all over the map. You see the words Navy tobacco, Navy cut, Navy flake, Navy roll all over. And I thought we'd just talk a little bit tonight about, you know, kind of exploring what that means and where that came
from. What the various opinions are on it.
Yeah.
So we're not choosing a side in the war for the Navy.
I might choose a side.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll depend.
All right.
Yeah. What Navy do I support?
So Navy flake is something that I hear referred to a lot.
Yeah.
And that's referring to specifically the cut.
Well, it is. And to start a conversation about Navy style tobacco, you really do need to go back to the beginning of flake tobacco. Mm. So, you know, let's kind of take a step back. We, you know, to think about the origins of Navy tobacco, you know, these are tobaccos that developed, obviously, you know, during colonial times. Think about, you know, anywhere from the 17th century all the way through to probably the early 19th century. You had a lot of shipping going back and forth from the New World to you know, the old world, Europe, and even beyond that. And these folks were, you know, the tobacco, you know, during that, you know, 150, 200 year time span, this was a kind of new thing. You know, they kind of had to figure it out as they go along. It's an industry like the automobile that once it develops, they, you know, it's uncharted territory. So they've got to figure this stuff out. But, you know, for centuries, you'd had ways of getting things like meat and, you know, other perishable goods across, you know, a long voyage with, you know, with keeping it fresh, you know, by using salt or, you know, what other, you know, kind of compounds they would put on the stuff. I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. But, you know, so they had to come up with basically a way to do the same thing with tobacco.
But, preserve it for
it for the length of time.
Yeah.
So, you know, basically at first, you know, you had these ships, they would stuff them full of tobacco. And, you know, by the time it got back to Europe, the tobacco was stale. It was too dry. It just didn't have a lot of...
What? This is what you're smoking over there in America? you keep bragging about the quality over there. This is pure trash.
Basically the whatever jar. But, you know, yeah, it had, you know, probably the consistency of pine straw.
Right.
You know, so, you know, so these tobaccos, they realized they just weren't able to get them across the ocean, you know, in a very... a shape where they were particularly desirable and consumable and all these things. So, so they tried a lot of different things to get the tobacco from, you know, from point A to point B across the pond. They tried, you know, actually casing it in just water, which I thought was interesting, just putting the tobacco into water. They tried, you know, taking it and actually surrounding it with tar, which I thought was interesting.
Ooh.
So, you know, I didn't fully understand the description of this, but in my mind, I kind of had the idea of, you know how tobacco or like cheese, you can wrap it in wax?
Sure, yeah.
You'll see like every year, Mississippi State University, they have these cheese balls that like people give out for Christmas.
Oh,
and
it's
stuff.
The only good thing about Mississippi State.
Yeah. Oh, it's one of the many good things. But but they give away these Edam cheese balls, you know, and it's covered in the wax, and you can get these fancy cheeses at the store wax. So I kind of had this idea that, you know, they probably took the tar and tried to wrap the tobacco in it,
almost like if it was the brownie style, the
like,
cake.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
But kind of wrapped in that. But you know, to seal the freshness in, and what they found is, you know, by the time the tobacco got overseas, it was smokable as far as the consistency of it went,
right?
But it tasted
like tar,
like asphalt, right?
which seen is that one coming,
which is just delicious. Yeah. So, you know, eventually, what they realized is if they made it was interesting. As I studied this, I found in multiple places They called it a briny solution, and you can almost think of it as like maybe a simple syrup, but they'd take water and sugar and create this briny solution that they would actually pack the tobacco in. And what they found is that would keep it fresh over time.
Interesting.
And so, you know, now you're also thinking about cargo, okay? We're thinking about, you know, let's say British Navy, 1725, you know, going from, you know, I don't know, Charleston, South Carolina to Dover or wherever, you know, in Europe. You know, that tobacco is not the only thing on that boat. And so if you're, you know, a captain of a Navy vessel or a quartermaster or whatever it is, you know, you've got to fit as much of this stuff as you can in the ship. And what they realized, which I just thought was so fascinating, is that they could take this tobacco and press it to make it take up less space.
Right.
I mean, it's just like anything. Like if you take a bunch of sweaters when the cold weather is over, you press them and so you put them under your bed so you won't see them again for another year.
Right.
You know, whatever, anything that you can kind of compact to, like, you know, make take up less space. The tobacco had the same idea. So they'd press it as hard as they could to, you know, under all this cargo to take, you know, less space. Whether
so
you put
instead
it in barrels
of
or 15 bales,
barrels, you now have like 5-10 barrels.
Yeah, your goal is to pack it as tightly as you can, right. And it's not for any other purpose other than just to take up less space.
Yeah.
But what they noticed is that when that combined with the solution that they would come up, this briny kind of sugar water, almost like a simple syrup thing, when they mixed those two things together, the tobacco tasted just exquisite. It tasted so good. So think about, like, you know, a tobacco that's been, you know, cased in this stuff to keep it fresh, and then it's been pressed really, really, really hard, only for the reason of being able to pack more of it in there. But then they notice that it's even more delicious that way.
That's awesome.
And so that's how the concept of flake tobacco started. Not just flake tobacco, but also plug tobacco and rolled tobacco. A lot of times, I've got some tobaccos here we'll take a look at in a second, but a lot of times these tobaccos, when you open up a tin, you'll notice they're cut into little medallions. And that's not on accident. The way a lot of these tobaccos were kept is they'd actually take the leaves of tobacco and press them together with different, you know, varying leaves to give different flavor. They might coat it in some kind of rum or molasses or something just to make it taste good and stay wetter for a longer period of time. And then they'd twist it really hard into basically a, you know, a log. So
is after they've packed and shipped it or before?
Like as in an alternative to pressing it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they'd roll it really, really hard. And then, you know, as the tobacco is consumed, you know, the only what you're supposed to do is just take your knife and cut some of it off the end, you know, and you could take your roll of tobacco. A lot of times the, you know, sailors were actually issued a roll of tobacco. Here's your roll. Here's your grog and your roll of tobacco.
Yeah.
And you know,
that's
so
your wage.
You take this roll and you could actually clip some off the end and either put it in your pipe or chew on it. Which is kind of fascinating. And a lot of times it was flavored with rum or molasses or some spice they had on hand. And so, you know, it was an interesting flavor to try. Anyway, having said that, you know, that's kind of the advent of, you know, tobacco being pressed and rolled and any kind of plug-style tobacco, something that's cramped into a very tight space. That's kind of how it developed, Bo. And it was all for the purpose of taking up less space and being convenient to access. But what they noticed along the way is that it made the flavor so much more, so much more wonderful. And you know, that's not just because it stays fresh for longer. Obviously, the, you know, tobacco leaves have a better chance to marry and to bleed into one another, you know, as they go along. So, having talked about that, so you've got tobacco that's been pressed into flakes or, you know, into big bales that then are cut into flakes or your rolls that are cut into medallions or whatever. What is a Navy roll? Okay. Well, a lot of folks are like, well, you know, if it's a flake, then it's got to be a Navy roll because that's how the flake developed.
Huh.
Well, no, you know, in general, the consensus tends to be a flake tobacco or a Navy tobacco is something that has been under some kind of pressure that, you know, whether it be, you know, twisted in a roll or pressed into a flake or a plug or something like that, and then sliced. But, you know, it's got the component of rum or some kind of sweetener on top of it, which was that kind of hallmark of, you know, the process of preserving it from the time it left the New World to the time it got to Europe.
So it's a combination of the two. It's, yeah. It's the method through which it's pressed, but it's also pressed with some form of casing, some form of sweetness.
Think of a sweetener, yeah, but you wouldn't call this aromatic tobacco.
Sure, certainly.
I wouldn't. You know, when you think of aromatic tobacco, you think of Cherry Cavendish or, you know, vanilla.
You give an aromatic a bad name by referencing cherry.
No. I'm just saying, like, you know, this is not a, you know, vanilla cream or something like that. It's a real clean tobacco, but it does have this casing element there, which is kind of interesting. And the casing varies from, you know, from piece to piece, and so, you know, just like any tobacco. But it is. It's both. It's the packing of it, but then it's also the addition of the flavoring of it too.
So is that part of where the battle lines are drawn, in that some people think that,
like,
it's because it's pressed right there, versus the, well, it has to be pressed and flavor?
Yeah, I think there are people that just, you know, vary on, you know, kind of how you interpret that. The thing is, it isn't made any clearer from the manufacturers that make this stuff. Okay, I've got a few of my favorites here tonight, and we're gonna shamelessly promote these tobaccos, and they're gonna confuse us all at the same time.
Oh, excellent!
Which is great. The first one I'll take is MacBaren Navy Flake. This is delicious. It's our friends at MacBaren. They do such a good job, and you know, you open the tin, it's just got a beautiful kind of gold foil in there, and then just a real pretty, kind of strong flake. Bo, give that a smell.
Definitely sweet.
And the thing is, you know, you ask the folks at MacBaren, and this doesn't have any rum component to it. Now, you know, what are you going to find as far as reviews online? Well, you know, it's got rum and sherry and cinnamon and coconut and all these different things. But, you know, according to MacBaren, this does not have any rum flavoring in it.
Which, by the way, this is not the the medallion that you're referring to before. This is more of like a sheet.
That's right. That's a flake tobacco that's been pressed into cakes and then sliced into flakes. So, and MacBaren actually describes this as a mild flake with the finest burley tobaccos, with added Virginias and Cavendish. So it's interesting. A lot of folks will equate, you know, Navy flakes or Navy tobaccos as being burley based. And so, you know, MacBaren would kind of go along with this. But then if you'll look over your left shoulder, Bo, you'll notice a jar. Can you pull that Stokeby Luxury Navy Flake down? Our friends at Peter Stokeby. And isn't that beautiful? It's just so pretty. You look at it. And actually, when this came out of the box that it comes in, it's so pretty. You can actually see all the leaves that are individually packed on it.
Did you put it in this container?
I did. Come
like that?
I sure did.
Well done, because it looks like...
Isn't that nice?
It looks like I just walked into like the candy store at Christmas.
I know. It's like, you know, it's the jerky bar. It's so pretty. Yeah, I tried... When I put it in the jar, I tried to leave it that way, because it's just so pleasing to look at. But this is a tobacco. This is Peter Stokeby's Navy Flake, Luxury Navy Flake, and they actually put a little Perique in it. They say they put a hint of rum, but this is a Virginia-based tobacco. And a lot of folks, you know, would say, well, navies are supposed to be burley-based. This is Virginia-based. You know, again, it's going to have just a natural sweetness to it with that little bit of rum, which I think is kind of fun. And then you've got tobacco that's kind of out in left field, which you might not necessarily associate with Navy Flake, but that identifies itself with. This is Escudo Navy Deluxe. Escudo, of course, one of the best-selling Virginia Periques out there, and always has been, you know, and it's just a delicious tobacco. That's actually what I'm smoking tonight, because I couldn't help myself. But Escudo is great. You know, we talked about the rolls of tobacco that were rolled out and then chopped into small medallions.
Think pepperonis.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So you know, you open this up and you see these little, you know, pepperoni medallions, kind of small twist-looking things, and that's Escudo. It's a real, you know, kind of medium to full-bodied Virginia Perique blend. It's just got a real rich freshness to it.
Can I ask you something? The medallions, is that customarily thinner than your traditional flake, or is that just because I noticed that the Escudo particularly is a little bit thinner from anything else that we've seen?
You know, I that's a great question, Bo, because I actually haven't thought about that before, but I would say on average it the medallion cut probably is a little thinner.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's based on no research at all.
Well, I mean, you know, for me, one of the...
But just pure memory.
I mean, flake tobacco is not something easy that the beginner can just pick up and start smoking.
Yeah,
I mean,
it tends to be for the little more advanced. Yeah.
It's because of the way that it's prepped and cut, it's an excellent, delicious tobacco, but it's also a little bit trickier if you know, when you're rubbing it apart and putting it in your pipe.
Yeah.
And so it takes a couple of flakes before you actually kind of get the hang of it.
You sound kind of flaky there, Bo.
Ah!
The Escudo also is mentioned as not having any additional flavoring or, casing or anything like that. Now, as our friend Greg Peace would be quick to mention, you know, flavoring and casing and topping is kind of lurking in a lot of places. So, you know, we have to kind of take this with a grain of salt when folks mention that. It's like, oh, none of these blends have any burley in them. Well, burley's in a lot of places, so just get over it.
Right.
The last one I'll point out, too, is this Dunhill Deluxe Navy Roll. It's similar. You open this tin, Bo. It's actually a closed tin, so I won't open it because I want someone to buy it. but you open this tin, and the rolls in there, it's, again, the same kind of concept of medallion, but it's a larger one than the Escudo, and it describes itself as a hand-stripped Virginia tobacco from Brazil and Africa, married with Perique from Louisiana, and then, again, no flavoring. So this is something that is describing itself as a Navy roll, but it's Virginia based with no flavoring rather than a burley based with rum flavoring. So it's just kind of all over the map here. I think the common element there, again, is going to be something that's pressed or has been under some type of pressure. And then, from there it just kind of goes on. I would tend to, say it's going to have some type of sweetness and generally that would be a rum or a molasses on there. Rather than nothing, but it's just open to interpretation, and that's evidenced by our friends at Dunhill and Escudo and Peter Stokeby and etc.
I'm really looking forward to getting some feedback on this one, just because because there is a difference of opinion, and since you have chosen a side, that it makes it all the more delicious when the conversation occurs. So if you would disagree, I mean, write in, let us know what you think, and John David will, as he would say, tell you why you're wrong.
Bring the heat.
No, man.
We're thankful for all the other armed services, too, and their tobaccos. Tonight, we just wanted to talk about the Navy tobacco.
That's right. That's right.
I wonder what an Air Force tobacco would be.
Isn't Pappy Joe, wasn't he Air Force?
No.
Oh, yeah,
no,
I was
going to
say, he's going to get
U.S. Coast Guard. Yeah.
Coast Guard.
Yeah, you better be careful.
All right, well, Coast Guard should have a tobacco. Actually,
I'm sure they do.
Senior Chief is the Coast
Senior
Guard.
Chief and Lighthouse Keeper, which you can get both of at the Country Squire. are in honor of the Coast Guard.
Look, we've talked about a lot of great tobaccos, and the wonderful thing when you've got so many tobaccos to choose from is, sometimes you need a good pipe.
Absolutely.
To use while you're going through all of these different tobaccos.
It's an important component, Bo.
I mean, it's a crucial component. But we've talked specifically about corncob pipes in the past.
Yeah.
And, one of the things, if you've listened to the show after a while, you've known that we've always said that corncob pipes are important to have as kind of like a toolkit, a tool in your pipes and make sure that you have it, because it is so great to differ through different tobaccos.
Absolutely.
And sample them with your corncob pipe. And I got to tell you, you're not going to find a better corncob pipe out there than our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
Absolutely, man.
Man, I'm so excited. Missouri Meerschaum coming on as a sponsor of this show, and we're really excited. What a great company they are. And today we're going to talk a little bit about one of their pipes in particular. Now, if you're familiar at all with Missouri Meerschaum, we've actually did an episode specifically about the company, so we encourage you to go back and listen to that one. But they make exclusively corncob pipes, and they do so in such great quality and style that it's just unlike anything you've seen. They've got a series out right now called the Cobbett Pipes.
The Cobbett Pipe.
Now, if for those of you who are not aware of this, this is a combination, of course, corncob, and Hobbit. So these are very much Tolkien-inspired pipes.
Yeah.
They've got four, if I'm not mistaken, as part of the series right now.
I know they have three. They may have four.
I think it's a dwarf. They've got one kind of
dwarven-inspired. The Shire.
Hobbit-inspired.
The wizard.
And then they also have an elf.
Oh, there's an elf. There's an elf, too.
But,
okay.
But what we want to talk to you a little bit about today is the wizard-inspired pipe. Now,
which is the larger one, right?
It is the larger one. Right. Actually, if you think about the MacArthur
Yeah.
And, you know, the MacArthur pipe, the wizard is actually very similar, though not nearly as intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you're Gandalf, you don't have to have, you know, a MacArthur pipe to be intimidating.
That's right.
You're just kind of a big deal.
Right.
With, you know.
But, I mean, in terms of size, we're talking about, like, you know, a pipe, a MacArthur pipe, but like half that size.
Yeah.
But, you know, long churchwarden styled corncob pipe. You've actually got one.
I do, man. I love it. It's a pipe that's definitely worth having. You know, it's going to retail anywhere from $20 to $30. And these are pipes that are well put together. They have ebonite stems. The longer stem is going to, you know, certainly cool the smoke down. And, man, it just gives you a great flavor. It's awesome.
Well, hey, be sure if you've got the Wizard, make sure you take a selfie with yourself. That makes some sense. Make sure you take a selfie smoking your Wizard and tweet it into us. Use the hashtag CobbettPipe, and we want to see them. We'll be retweeting those out. So we are really looking forward to seeing you guys rocking your Wizards, and also very much looking forward to having Missouri Meerschaum on as a sponsor for the show.
Absolutely.
Pipe question of the week.
Happy Joe says he's already been insulted by Bo tonight. He says, air farce? Really?
Ooh, oh, come on. Man. I'm sorry, Pappy. I knew as I was saying
well,
it that
I
was wrong.
I mean, I'm sure we've got some loyal Air Force folks. That,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, might. I don't know. We don't. Never mind.
No, we don't.
The last thing we need in this country is one more group pitted against another group. So.
No matter what branch of our armed forces,
we're thankful for all of
thankful
you.
Thankful, and we salute you.
Including Pappy Joe and our loyal, faithful, incredible friends at the U.S. Coast Guard. Yeah,
including, if not especially, Pappy Joe.
That's right. That's right.
Pipe question of the week this week is brought to us by Lane BCA.
Ow!
Man, that beautiful black Cavendish. You know, we love talking about this because not only is it a wonderful smoke all its own, it's actually a component that is used in several fine blends. I mean, if you're looking for somebody who knows what they're talking about, look no further than Mr. John David Cole here at the Country Squire Radio, who has blended how many tobaccos in your time?
Quite a few. And, quite a few. And BCA does wonders as far as a blender goes. It smokes really cool. It's very versatile. It's got a real nice creamy flavor and that sweetness that American pipe smokers love.
Oh, you got to get it. Got to check it out. And hey, be a little, blend some on your own and let us know how that BCA enhanced your experience.
That's right.
All right. This pipe question comes in from listener Frank. And Frank writes in, this is kind of a little bit late.
Yeah.
But I think it's still still relevant.
I love the lateness, the tardiness of this question.
Well, and you'll see what we're talking about. He writes, he says, this may be a dumb question, but how do you wrap a new pipe as a gift? I know some pipes come in a box. I had a few Savinellis like this, but some of the longer pipes with more unique shapes won't fit into that style box. And I don't want them rattling around when they shake. So, I mean, you're thinking about a long church warden pipe.
To listener Frank, you need to go buy a really, really fancy pipe case at the Country Squire.
Okay.
Something that costs you just hundreds of dollars. and then put that pipe inside the pipe case and then wrap that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's so easy to wrap at that point.
All right.
You basically have bought your own little wrapping thing.
You're joking, but that's actually not a bad idea. No. I'd never thought about that before, but you're right.
There's a variety of ways. A lot, you know, typically if you're buying a Peterson or a Savinelli, Bouchot can, some of your, you know, more standard brand pipes, it's going to come with a box. But a lot of your higher end artisan pipes, you know, oddly enough, don't come with boxes. And so, or, you know, just a pipe like a, you know, our friends at Nirup or Nording, they, you know, typically are not going to have a box with their pipe. And so, you know, what do you do with that? You have to get creative. And I've seen folks take a lot of different tracks with this. My favorite one that people tend to do is they wrap a gift in the shape of something else, like maybe a wine bottle or a book or something. But then when it's opened up, it, you know, is something totally different, like a pipe.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my you know, recommendation here would just be to, you know, be as creative as possible. You know, a pipe is a funny shaped object, and a lot of times you just kind of have to, you know, be okay with giving it as it is. But there's something a little bow won't hurt on top of it, and
classic.
I'm partially fond of this, you know, idea of buying a really fancy pouch or, you know, a carrying case maybe that holds four or five pipes, and then you have to fill up all of them.
Retailer at work right here.
No. One thing I will say, the churchwarden pipes are particularly difficult. And matter of fact, we had someone come in here today, and they were like, show me your cases for your church organ pipes. And we don't have any. And, you know, they make some, and they're out there. But the ones that are out there, you know, if they hold a church organ pipe, are not going to really be durable, protective, you know, basically. Church wardens are fragile. And so, you know, it's one of those things you're just going to have to get creative on how to do that. I kind of wish someone would make a, you know how you can go to the liquor store over here, or I'm sorry, as the local elites call it, the package store. You can go next door to the
that's a thing?
The package store.
I was I was unfamiliar with that.
Oh, no, yeah.
Wine and spirits, I know.
No, liquors, you can't say liquor is too tacky. But go to the package store, and that, you know, they've got these you know, packaging things that are made for liquor bottles or wine
that's
bottles.
Right.
And
that's
I kind of do wish, you know, someone would make something like that for a pipe. But anyway, a lot of times you do have to get creative, and yeah. Let us know your thoughts if you find anything.
Hey, if you got a church warden for Christmas, let us know how it was wrapped.
Yeah, good idea.
There you go. You can actually share that up on the Facebook page or just send it in along with your pipe questions of the week, csr@potastery.com.
You know, Bo, one of my favorite memories so far working at the shop, a very good friend of mine came in and said, you know, John David, look, I'm going to buy my husband. They had just gotten married a few months before, and this was like mid-December. And she said, look, I'm going to buy my husband this church warden pipe and an ounce of long bottom leaf here at the Squire for Christmas. And she was like, you know, look, don't mention it to him. You know, obviously, just keep this secret that, you know, this is what he's going to get. 2 days later, the husband comes in, okay, my buddy, and he says, hey, John David, please don't tell my wife, but, man, I'm going to get her this church warden pipe and this ounce of long bottom leaf for Christmas. And so they both bought these two pipes for each other, almost identical church warden pipes. Both,
I cut my hair to give you this chain. I sold my watch to give you these combs.
Exactly, right? And so they both woke up on Christmas morning and, of course, had identical pipes and identical tobacco. And I got these text messages rapid fire, like, you think you're cute.
You got two sales out of it.
I had two sales. It was great. Yeah. But I love that. And that's the most my favorite memory of a church warden being given as a gift.
Oh,
that's
hilarious.
Husband and wife pair, and they didn't even plan on it.
That's so good.
It's pretty cool.
Quick fire with the Squire.
All right, quick fire with the Squire. Continuing our series from Mortensen Devi. All right.
Bring the heat.
You ready?
Yep.
Surf or turf?
Turf. I want red meat.
Depends on where I am. If I'm on the coast, then definitely give me the surf. But otherwise...
Yeah, I mean, I think on average, you know, we don't have the fortune of living close enough to the water where you can see where it comes out of.
Catfish,
so,
but yeah, beyond
I mean,
that, yeah.
That doesn't count.
Well, yes, it does.
It counts. I'm just saying.
Don't you dare badmouth catfish
that's
in
not
this Mississippi state
but
right
here. But is
that
surf? Is it surf or is that like
no,
just...
Yeah, that's fine.
Is that more like stagnant mosquito-laden...
That's like...
cesspool.
that's a different kind of turf. We'll put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So statistically speaking, turf more over than surf.
Okay.
Avengers or Watchmen? Do you understand that?
I love avenging stuff. I when I'm angry about something and I know I'm right, avenging things is very important to me as a character trait.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna go with Avengers.
Okay. Yeah. So
I also like watching things.
If we're talking about the graphic novel, then Watchmen. If we're talking about movies, then Avengers. Watchmen was fantastic. Have you ever read Watchmen?
I love watching things,
but no. But
I have like five different watches.
Bespoke. You
stop
it right now. Look,
great.
I'm serious about this. You would actually the graphic novel Watchmen.
Yeah.
Like you would really love that. I'm gonna have to get that for you at some point.
Okay.
Straight or bend?
Straight pipe.
Yep.
About 8 times out of 10, I'm a straight pipe smoker.
Yep. Morta or Briar?
Yeah, Briar, but. I sure do love my Morta. My Davern Morta.
Man, I've been on a Morta kick lately. I've been enjoying my Rhino from my Rhino Rocks pipe.
Yeah,
it's
a good looking pipe.
It's a really freaking awesome pipe. So, I mean, I can't... but yeah, I mean, overall, I've got more Briar than Morta to be sure. And then morning person or night person?
You know, I if I could pick like a midday person, I'd go with that. But if I have to choose between the two, definitely give me night.
I'm definitely a morning person.
Remember when we used to record this show at 9 o'clock
it was
every
so
Tuesday morning?
So much better. Oh my gosh!
It was
so easy.
So great. Except I would get there like you know, rolling in like
30 minutes late.
Oh, it's just terrible.
Looking like you're hungover.
Just constantly getting these berating messages from our listeners on our watchers, viewers. You know, it's like, man, this guy just can't get it. My hair is wet, and it was when I was growing it out, so it was all nasty. And it's like,
it was a great way to start the day, man. It was like coffee, Country Squire. My energy level was like,
I'd rather end my day here at our local pipe shop.
All right.
That's just me.
I hear you, man. And
night
person. It's been a fun transition, so I can't complain too much. All right, great questions, Morton. We've got more of them coming your way next week, but if you've got some, send them in, csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts? Your comments. Listener feedback.
All right, listener feedback this week. We've got an iTunes review in from Dave in Lax, LAX. He says, I enjoy CSR. I'm a longtime collector, and I enjoy and can recommend CSR. I look forward to the show every week. So thank you so much for that. We appreciate it.
Dave in LAX. This next one is from, let's see here.
Dan?
This next one is from Dan Kapuska, and it comes by email. He says, gentlemen, I am writing you from snow-packed Colorado mountains to tell you how much I appreciate CSR and both Bo and JD's passion for excellence. I called in to the Country Squire and spoke to JD and ended up purchasing some Second Breakfast and Rivendell and look forward to sampling them, though I'm sure they are brilliant. You both represent something rarely found in that you joyfully pursue what you're most passionate about. It is all at once inspiring and entertaining for the rest of us. As a fellow story lover, theology nerd, pipe sporting man of God, etc., I salute you, sirs. Man, Dan, thanks so much. And he actually, this is funny, it's very timely, he actually called back in today.
All right.
To let me know just how much he enjoyed Rivendell and Second Breakfast. And man, that just made me particularly happy.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, so that was great. Dan, thanks so much for chiming in.
Yeah, look, we love getting this kind of feedback from you guys. And you know what? We've loved actually getting a lot of feedback from you guys, including from Twitter, from the YouTube channel and everything. And gosh, you know what? It's time to announce the winner.
Someone's going to win a bunch of tobacco.
Yeah, not,
I say a bunch is 3 ounces.
I mean, it's
that's
not
good.
One. It's not two.
But it's three.
It's 3 ounces
and
of tobacco.
They think they can have 3 ounces of one blend, or they can have 2 ounces of one and 1 ounce of another, or they can even have 1 ounce of three different blends.
That's right, man. All right, so are you ready? If we I was about to say if we had a drum roll, we'd do it, but there you go. The winner is Bill Phillips.
Bill Phillips, congratulations, man.
Yep, at
3 ounces
one
of,
Bill P on Twitter. Thank you so much, and thank you to everyone who subscribed and shot us a tweet letting us know that you did.
Absolutely.
And here's the great thing. You're all runner-up because you all win weekly content from the Country Squire Radio YouTube channel.
It's the best thing ever.
Look, stay tuned. We've got more things like this that we want to do in
yeah.
the future, in the very near future. So really big thanks to Bill. Big thanks to everyone that participated. We still want to, of course, encourage you, if you haven't done so already, to head over to the YouTube channel and subscribe. If you're listening to the podcast, if this is your first episode, you can actually subscribe to the podcast over on iTunes and write us a review there. We also encourage you to check out the Satchel Podcast Player, where not only can you listen and subscribe to the show, you can actually tweet us directly while you're listening to the show, which is a really cool feature. So be sure to check that out. We also want to encourage you to tune in to the live show, which you can do. We broadcast live at 6:30 Central Time every Monday night. That is 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. And you can keep up with us throughout the week. I'm at The Real Bo York on Twitter.
I'm at John David Cole. And you can get us at the shop at underscore Country Squire.
And of course, the show's Twitter handle is at Squire Radio.
Man, fun episode.
Dude, great episode.
Great episode. We're getting a lot of content and interaction too from our friends on Twitter tonight. It's good to hear from man, Portland Paul, Hoctor the Love Doctor, Pappy Joe as usual, John Griffin. Man, just a lot of really good folks chiming in. So our friend Russ. So yeah, thanks so much for doing that.
Yeah, I'm noticing right now actually John Griffin he's posted out a picture of he's got some frog Morton, a nice long church warden and some sort of cocktail that he has put together there. And
is that Tom Collins? What is that?
It says it's like whiskey, pipe smoke, and the Country Squire. That's
whiskey.
A good way to
man, yeah, that dog will hunt. absolutely. And you know, another thing, our friend at the SubCon, Portland Paul, he says, you know, he's just having trouble getting into Virginia Perique. So I was just here today at the shop with one of our most loyal customers and a really dear friend. And he's a Latakia smoker, and if it's a Virginia, he doesn't even want to try it. So and has been that way for a long time.
Well,
so
fair enough.
I get it. And then, of course, we've got John who tweets in, you mean you don't eat sushi when you're in North Dakota? And that's a good question. I mean, would you not eat sushi when you're in North Dakota because you can't see the ocean?
Well, sushi, I wouldn't consider sushi surf.
It's raw fish.
Right, but I mean, like, for me, when I think surf, I think oysters, I think like, you know, redfish. I think more of like a full fish as opposed to kind of little bits of beef. Like, sushi's raw fish, but it's also like little bits of fish.
You know, I'm just willing to admit I probably have a double standard and would eat sushi in North Dakota, but not a piece of, like, amberjack.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we both are double standards there. All right, man. Well, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.